So back in the book of John again tonight. We were there this morning, a few chapters over in chapter 8. Of course, a lengthy chapter, a lot in there that we could preach about, but I'm just going to focus on really just one thing tonight. I'm going to only have one point for you, and that doesn't mean it's going to be a short sermon, okay? It just means that I'm really only trying to, like any good sermon, you try to make one point and get it across, because that's usually all you can expect people to really walk away with. And that's what I'm going to try and get across tonight, is this idea that it is a great privilege that we have to be able to read the Word of God, and not just the fact that we have the Word of God, that we have a preserved Word, that we have the very words of God in our own language, but also that when we read the Word of God, we can actually be spoken to by God, that God can speak to us through His Word. It's a very great privilege that we have, and hopefully it's one that we're going to be availing ourselves of much in the coming year. So I want to start out here, and we're going to look really just at verses 42 through 47, where the Bible reads there in verse 42, Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh of a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. So we see here in this passage that Jesus is making a very clear distinction that there are people that are of God, and then there are people that are not of God. Of course, he even goes a step further here with the Pharisees by calling them, stating the fact that they are of their father, the devil. Okay. Now, that doesn't mean that there's only two groups of people in this world, that there's the sons of God, and then there's the children of the devil. Okay. There's also just people that are unsaved, you know, that are neither. Okay. As there's really three categories of people. But Jesus, you know, when he's speaking to these Pharisees, he makes a very clear distinction that you're of your father, the devil, and I am of my father, the heavenly father, right? But he's making a distinction here also more broadly that there are people that are of God and there are people that are not of God. There are people that are saved and there are people that are not saved. And look, this, I know we all understand this, but again, there's a world out there, there's this popular misunderstanding out there that God just accepts everybody, that we're all the children of God, that everyone's going to go to heaven, that we're all going to be just let in. You know, that's not what Jesus taught. You know, Jesus taught that, you know, there's going to be few that are saved. Okay, we're going to look at a few passages real quick. You know, I've got a lot of blue lines in here tonight, so that means there's going to be a lot of bookmarking. All right, so hopefully you can keep up with me tonight. I know it's an evening service, but let's get ready to get into the Word of God. Go over to Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7. You know, God is a God who makes a distinction between people who are of God and people who are not of God. And it's important to understand that because there's certain privileges that come with being of God. There's certain things that we as God's people have that people that are not of God don't have. Okay? You know, even beyond salvation, you know, we obviously, that's the greatest advantage that we have is that when we die, we're going to go to heaven and have the new body and we're going to rule and reign with Christ and all that. That's obviously a very great privilege. But, you know, there's privileges that we can take advantage of even here and now in this life that are off limits to the world that other people don't have. Matthew chapter number 7, if you look there in verse 21, Jesus said, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. So this goes very much against this idea that everyone gets to go to heaven. And this is, Jesus is saying this about a group of people that are calling him by name. They're saying, Lord, Lord. He's saying, they shall not enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is to believe on him whom he hath sent, Christ. That is the work of God. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? These are good things. These are things that Jesus himself did, okay? These works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So what's the iniquity that they worked? Is it the fact that they prophesied in his name? Is it the fact that they cast out devils? Is it the fact that they've done many wonderful works? No, the iniquity is that they're trusting in those works to save them. He's saying, all your, because we know that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Okay, go over to Luke chapter number 13. Luke chapter number 13. So again, right out of the gate, we've seen that there's a very clear distinction that Jesus himself makes repeatedly in Scripture, that there are some people that are of God and there are other people that are not of God. And that might not be a popular teaching, but it's what the Bible says. Okay, and it's important to understand that because we're living in a very ecumenical time right now where everybody just wants to hold hands and come together and just say, you know, we're all one, we're all the same, we all worship the same God. No, we don't. In fact, Jesus, we just got done reading where Jesus is saying to certain people that are even calling him by name that they are workers of iniquity, okay, because they're trusting in their own works. They don't have the true gospel. This is what Jesus taught. Luke chapter 13, if you would, look at verse number 23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, no, there's many, because everyone gets into heaven. Everyone gets a free pass. God's just going to forget everything and forgive everything, and everyone gets in. That's not what he said, folks. We know this. He goes and says, and he answers this question in verse 24 by saying, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know not whence ye are. Then you should begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. And, you know, there's many other passages, obviously, that we could turn to that make it very clear that there is a distinction between those that are of God and those that are not of God. Okay? And if you're here tonight and you're saved, guess what? You're in that minority. You're in you're the select few, right? You're in the chosen, those that have been saved. You are what Jesus called his little flock, okay? And that in and of itself is a huge advantage. That in and of itself is a great privilege to be saved, to have known the truth, to be able to learn and understand the truth and to have believed on Christ, okay? But, you know, beyond that, even beyond, and keep something in Luke if you want to go back to John. Beyond that, there's also the privilege of being able to have God's word and to be able to understand it. The Bible teaches us that you must be of God to hear his word. Is that not what he said in John chapter 8, where we were in verse 47? He that is of God heareth God's words. So those of us that are of God, that have the Holy Spirit, those of us that have been saved by grace, we have the ability to hear God's word. What a privilege that is, to be able to hear God's word. Sometimes I think we lose sight of that. Sometimes I think we might forget what a great privilege it is to be able to open up the Bible and be able to read it and to have God speak to us. It's a very great privilege. It's not something that's available to everybody. You know, there's even people that maybe will open up the Bible and say, hey, I'm going to read this book. And they won't understand it because they're not of God. You know, I know this to be true for myself. Before I got saved, I sat down to read the book of John. You know, I'm dabbling and experimenting and looking into all these different, religions out there, seeking for truth, you know, and I'd kind of not looked at Christianity. I said, well, you know what, I'll at least read one of the Gospels. At least let me give, you know, the Bible a shot to try and convince me, which is the totally wrong approach when it comes to seeking for truth, right? I would say, well, I'll read the Bible and we'll see if it can convince me, right? So I was like, well, my middle name's John. I might as well start with the book of John. You know, and I didn't get very far into the book of John before I started scratching my head and said, what is going on here? What is this about? It's, you know, this guy is out in the wilderness. He's girded with, camel's hair. He's eating bugs and honey, and he's telling people to repent and baptizing people. And, you know, that's really all the further I got. You know, if we're of God, we have this privilege to be able to hear God's word. We have the ability to pick up the word of God and have God speak to us. What a great privilege that is. Because he says there, verse 47, ye therefore hear them not. They hear not what? They don't hear God's word because they are not of God. To hear God's word is a great privilege. Notice, you know, what do I mean by that when I say to hear God's word? Obviously, you know, you could, it's not talking about physically hearing it, right? Obviously, we could play an audio Bible for somebody. Even an unsaved person can read the Bible and hear these words. But to hear God's word, what he's saying there is to have the ability to understand it, to be able to actually comprehend what is being taught in Scripture. And again, we take this for granted sometimes because we're just so used to it. We're just so used to opening up the Bible, reading it, understanding what it's saying. Obviously, there's difficult things in the Scripture that we have to really mull over and think about and ponder and compare Scripture with Scripture and spiritual things with spiritual things to get a fuller and deeper understanding of what the Bible's teaching. But by and large, we can pick up the Word of God and we can understand what it's saying, and God can speak to us through it. And we're so used to that. We're just so used to being able to do that that maybe, you know, our Bible reading can become a little lackluster. Maybe it can start to feel a little bit more like just a chore for us to just kind of get through, okay? It ought not be that way. We ought to go to the Word of God every day. And when we read it, understand that what we're partaking in is a great spiritual privilege that not a lot of people have. Not a lot of people can sit down with the Word of God in the morning, open it up, and have, you know, the Almighty, the Creator of all things, speak to their heart through His Word. It's a great privilege. You should never lose sight of that. To be able to understand it. That's what I mean by being able to hear it. If you look there in verse 43, "Why do you not understand my speech?" Jesus said to them, "even because you cannot hear my word." So not hearing it is equated with what? Not being able to understand it. Obviously, they can hear the words that are coming out of his mouth, but if you notice, when the scripture is being read, everything's just going right over their head. Everything. They're just like, well, you know, they're not getting any of it, which is something that, you know, happened often with the Pharisees and the unsaved. But, you know, that's not us. We have this privilege to be able to understand it. And that's something that some people will never have. They'll never be able to hear the Word of God because they'll never be able to understand the Word of God. And look, this is something that you'll start to see in people. And you see it, you know, with the intellectuals of this world. You see it with, you know, a lot of people that are into philosophies. And maybe there's even writers and other people. I mean, I've listened to people that are not believers, people who have, you know, ruled out maybe even the existence of God, and it's almost sad to sit there and watch them try to, you know, interpret the world and understand the world that they're living in apart from the Creator. They're sitting there and trying to understand nature and creation. They're sitting there and trying to understand humanity and trying to make sense of the world, but they're trying to do it after having completely divorced it from God. They're taking out this huge part of the equation called the Lord, and then trying to look through that lens and try to that they have and try to understand what's going on in the world. And you can see it with them. There's this sense of despair. There's this sense of not understanding. There's just this cynicism. It's not there. There's no, you know, sometimes it just feels like there's no love there. And you almost feel bad for these people. You know, and a lot of times they end up just scoffing and mocking and ridiculing the things of God. And it really, it's just unfortunate. But you know what? It reminds me of how privileged I am as a child of God to be able to understand and hear and know the Word of God, that I don't have to just stumble through this life and just fumble through life wondering, you know, what's the point of it all? Or trying to make sense of things. Or trying to explain why the world is the way it is. I know why it is the way it is because I have this book. Because I have the written Word of God to interpret to me and to tell me why things are the way they are. It's a great privilege that we have. And some people out there in this world will never understand it. I know I had you book something, bookmark Luke. You know, I'll probably end up spraining a finger tonight, so just you might want to just turn around with me as we go. But go to Ephesians, okay? Ephesians, because when you get to Ephesians, I was going to ask you to keep something also in Ephesians. But you know what? I'm not bookmarking anything right now, so you're going to have to wait on me anyway when we get back there. So you might as well just roll with me tonight, okay? Ephesians chapter number 1. If you look there in verse 15, he said, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love on all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention you of in my prayers." Paul's telling Ephesians, hey, after I heard that you got saved, I just kept thanking God for you. And I started praying for you, and I ceased not to pray for you. What would you pray for somebody that's already gotten saved? Well, Paul's about to show us here. I mean, we pray for people to get saved. We pray that we'd have the boldness and the faith and the ability to go out and preach the gospel and pray for our loved ones and others to get saved. But after they get saved, you know, the prayer doesn't stop. We pray what? We pray that they would, that they would begin to understand. That's what Paul prayed. He said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, verse 16. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That was his prayer, that the people of Ephesus, that they would, after having gotten saved, would be filled with the spirit of knowledge and revelation in the knowledge of God. Okay, that's what he wants for them. And look, why did he pray that? Because it's possible. Because it means that we can go to the Word of God and have things revealed to us. We can have wisdom given to us from the Bible. Okay, that's a great privilege. Not everybody has that. A lot of people are going to live harder lives than they need to. A lot of people are going to make mistakes that they didn't need to make because they don't have the wisdom of the Word of God guiding them. Okay, that's a great privilege that we have. That's what it means to be of God. That's what it means to be able to hear and understand the Word of God. That you actually are having things revealed to you. You're being given wisdom from the Bible. It's a great privilege. Go over to chapter 4. Chapter number 4, look at verse 17. This I say, therefore, Ephesians 4, 17, and testify in the Lord that henceforth you walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. People who don't have the Holy Spirit, the unsaved, they are what? They have their understanding darkened. They're alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Look, that's not me and you. He's talking about people that are not of God. That's what he's talking about. Unsaved people. That's not us. But that was us, you know, at one point that we would be, lumped in with that group of people, wouldn't we? We would, we could say if before we were saved, we had our understanding darkened. We were alienated from the life of God. But now that we're saved, now that we have the Holy Spirit, now that we are of God, we have the ability to hear and understand and to be filled with the real wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of God in Him. What a privilege to be of God. What a privilege to be able to hear and understand God's Word tonight. If you would, go over to 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. To be able to hear God's Word is to be able to understand God's Word. And there's a lot of people in this world, they don't have that. And there's, you know, and you say, well, what's that mean to them? It means they're going to suffer needlessly. It means they're going to make mistakes and do things that, I mean, how else do you explain the things that people do in this world? I mean, people are making a mess out of their lives. They're making a mess out of society. Why? Because they don't have the Word of God. Their understanding is darkened. Their past feeling. Look there in 1 John chapter number 5, verse 18. He says there in verse 18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God has come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. I mean, powerful words from the Apostle John here. He's saying, this is the true God and eternal life. And we know that we are in him, that we are in Christ. And notice there, he says in verse 18, we know, right? Verse 19, and we know that we are of God. And verse 20, and we know that the Son of God. Isn't it great to know some things? Isn't it great to know that we're in Christ? Isn't it great that we know that him that is true and that we are in him, even in his Son Christ? If that's something that we know. You know, that's what the Word of God does for you, folks, when you read it. You know, obviously we start out just believing the Word of God. We start out just by faith, believing in the Bible, believing what the Bible says. Maybe even sometimes we don't understand everything that it says at first. We just say, well, I know the Bible's the Word of God. I just believe it. I just trust it. I'm just going to go with this. I don't understand everything. And if you do that, I'm telling you, you get to a place where you go from believing that the Bible is the Word of God to knowing it's the Word of God. To saying, I'm unshakable in my faith. I know what I'm reading is the Word of God because it's spoken to me. I know that it's the Word of God because of how it's changed my life, because I've seen the power of God working in my life through His Word. I've seen it in other people's lives, transforming lives, changing people, changing the way people think, changing the way people approach life, changing people's behaviors. The Word of God truly is powerful. It is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That is what we have in the King James Bible. And it's a great privilege to be able to not only hear God's Word, but also to be able to understand it. These are things that we know, but not everybody does. In fact, fewer people know than don't know. Spiritual understanding, the ability to be able to hear and understand, is a great privilege. If you would, let's go back to Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10. Not everybody gets to understand the Word of God. Not everybody gets to pick up the Bible and know what it says. And again, you see this out there in the world. You listen to people who really are very, maybe even very intelligent people and can speak very intelligently on certain subjects. You know, but then they don't have this big piece of the puzzle called the Lord, called the Bible. And it's like they're despairing almost. And they're just groping and just grasping for trying to make sense of it somehow. And they come up with a lot of very foolish things to try to explain the world. All right, you go to Luke 10. Look at verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, as revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. He goes on and he says in verse 22, all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. He's saying, look, there's things that God has hidden from the wise and prudent. You know, we read about that with the Pharisees. You know, their eyes were blinded so that seeing they would not see. Their ears were closed so that hearing they could not hear. Okay? They could not believe. Right? But God had revealed those things unto babes. God didn't reveal them unto the wise and the prudent. God didn't reveal them unto the mighty and the noble of this world. He revealed it unto people that were humble, simple, meek people that would just believe the Word of God by faith. And look, that's us tonight. We're that same group of people. You know, you watch all these intellectuals and all these, you know, people in these higher institutions of learning sit there who have just mocked and scoffed and ridiculed the Word of God and then sit there and just chase their own tail trying to understand the world. And yet then you'll have just a group of simple people, just everyday people, who have the privilege of knowing the Word of God and understanding it and knowing the true and living God. God truly has revealed these things unto babes. And that's me and you. And what a privilege it is, again. Go back to Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. You know, there's a lot of people in this world, they don't have the knowledge of God. But it's not me and you. Praise God, we've got it. We have the knowledge of God. It's at your fingertips right now, if you brought your Bible. Okay. You know, if you've got a Bible, every time you pick it up, you're picking up the knowledge and understanding, the wisdom and the revelation of God revealed unto even babes. Ephesians chapter number 3, look at verse 1. It says, for this cause I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you've heard of the dispensation of grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ. I love that phrase. Whereby when you read, you may understand. You know, that's a whole other sermon right there. You want to understand the things of God? You need to read the things of God. Whereby when you read, you may understand. You know, people, they don't understand things about the Christian life because they haven't read about them. Okay, when you read, you understand. Now, he's talking specifically here about the knowledge, his knowledge in the mystery of Christ, verse 5, which in other ages was not made known of the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And that specifically he's talking about the mystery of the fact that, verse 6, the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Okay, so that's what he's talking about specifically. But look, you know, we have this ability to be able to pick up the Word of God, and we have this revelation that's been made known. which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. We have that in our hands. This great mystery has been opened up to us in the New Testament. And it's our privilege to be able to pick it up, to read it, and understand it. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. I know I got you jumping around tonight, but you're just jumping around in God's Word. So there's no better place to be jumping around in, you know. It's not a comic book in your hand, I know, but it's the knowledge and wisdom and revelation of God. So let's jump around a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. You look there in verse 9, it says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." The Bible's saying, look, God has revealed these things unto us by his Spirit. You know, eye has not seen, ear heard, and neither has entered the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them to love them. You know, there was a time when, you know, they couldn't understand. They couldn't understand everything that we understand today. There's a lot of things that the prophets and holy men of old desired to look into. They desired to understand, but they understood them not. We have this revelation that's given unto us in the New Testament. We have this great privilege to be able to hear and understand the very words of God. You know, again, this all comes, it just boils down to the fact that there's some people that are of God and there's some people that are not of God. And in order to be of God, you know, you have to be saved. And if you're of God, you can hear his word, you can understand it. And this kind of helps us understand, too, sometimes when we see people who just choke on the word of God. People who might even claim to be saved. People who might even gone to church with us for some time. And then it comes out, they just believe some heresy. And it's like, and then you show them from the word of God and say, well, no, the Bible's very clear here on this doctrine that you've got completely backwards, that you've got completely wrong. You say, well, why is that? It's because they're not of God. You know, that's why they don't continue with us. They go out from us because they were not of us. For if they were of us, no doubt they would have continued with us. Okay, some people are going to come, we're going to think they're one of us, but you know what? In time, it's going to be revealed that they're not even saved, they don't understand the word of God, and they're going to go out from us. Now, obviously, if we believe something different on some minor detail in Scripture, that's not a big deal. You know, we can have our disagreements. You know, we can debate squatch. I'm bringing it up again. We can debate, you know, these different things. You know, we can have these minor disagreements about the Word of God. But big things in the Word of God, like, oh, I don't know, salvation? You know, that's not a minor detail. You know, a lot of all the minutiae of end times prophecy, we can have our debates. You know, all these little things, but things like salvation, eternal security, baptism, the preservation of the Word of God, the inspiration of the Word of God, these major cardinal doctrines. How about things like the Trinity? You know, the Trinity is not a secondary, a doctrine. That's not something that's peripheral. That's a main doctrine that we have to agree on. We're talking about the nature of who God is and what the Bible teaches about that. That's the great thing about the Bible. There's only one correct interpretation about the Bible. That's it. There's only one primary interpretation of the Bible. That's where all the arguing comes in, is because we have to decide who's right and who's wrong, right? But there can be many different applications that are all right. But the Bible only says one thing, folks. It only says one thing. You know, and on certain things, we all have to agree on what it's saying. These major doctrines. Okay, so when you find people who choke on things, you know, like things like the Trinity, you know, that's just a sign that they're not saved. Because the Trinity is so clear in Scripture. I mean, just go back to John 8. Where were we? John 8. Go back there. I mean, it's even just there in John 8. I mean, it's all over. But just look in John 8. And it's so clear. It's just so, I mean, we go to Genesis 1. I mean, it's all throughout the Scripture. It's just abundantly clear. In fact, it's so clear that there's even unsaved people that understand that the Bible teaches a Trinity. You know, and it's such a stupid argument when these heretics throw that in your face. Oh, well, you know, Catholics believe in the Trinity. Well, yeah, it's because even an unsaved person can understand something that is so clear in the Word of God. You know, they also understand that life begins at conception. Are we going to argue that now? You know, at least they've got abortion, you know, right? They're right on that. They're right on some things, you know, because even a broken clock is right twice a day. You know, even a blind squirrel finds a nut now and then, as they say. I mean, so it's like when you see people that choke on doctrines like the Trinity, it just tells you they're not of God. Because if they were of God, they would hear God's word. But because they don't hear God's word, they don't understand it, they're not of God. Okay? It says in verse 14, Jesus answered and said to them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, I am not alone. I am not alone, but I and my Father that sent me. I am not alone because I am my Father. Is that what he's saying? No. But there's people out there, oh, Jesus is the Father, and the Father is Jesus. Well, then how is he not alone if he's the same person? Is this that hard to grasp? Is this really, are we going way deep? Am I losing you tonight? Have I lost you? No, you can understand something that's so simple and right on the surface because you're of God. And even that probably isn't a proper litmus test to see if you're really saved, because even unsaved people can get this. So when you see somebody who just can't get it through their thick head, the Trinity, it's just, they're not of God, period. You know, God has blinded them, as far as I'm concerned. Well, you got any more? Verse 18, I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness. Look at verse 17. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. So he's going back to law saying, look, it's two men that have to bear witness for something to be true. And then he's saying, I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bear witness of me. He's saying, my witness is true because I have two witnesses, two different people. You know, I can't be my own second witness. I can't just put on a different hat and say, well, now I'm a different person because I'm using a different title. You know, I'm Deacon Corbin Russell bearing witness of this and that, and now I'm going to be a second witness in some court case because now I'm just Corbin Russell, you know, the dad. You know, or whatever. I have some other title. You know, that you would say, well, wait a minute, that's the same person. That would never fly in a court of law. That's what Jesus, that's the illustration he's using. Look, your law says that the witness of two is true. I am one, and my Father that sent me is another. That's two witnesses because it's two different people. It's not the same person. And then you'll have people say stupid things like, no man has ever seen Jesus. And the name of the Father is Jesus. And when people choke on things like that, it's because they're not of God. Because they can't hear nor understand God's word. And even when you show them these things plainly. I mean, one of these same people, I was just telling somebody about this the other night, they didn't even understand that Lazarus was literally dead. Went souling with one of these bozos, and he's talking to some lady that had a Jehovah's Witnesses in their living room doing a study. And I can't remember exactly how the conversation goes, but I remember him saying, well, that's because Lazarus wasn't really dead. When Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, you know, when everyone's objecting and saying, Lord, it's been 4 days, he stinketh. You know, I know if you had been here, my brother had not died. You know, Mary and Martha both said that. It was two different people. They seemed to understand that Lazarus was dead. I mean, it's not that hard. You know, he's kind of, you know, no pulse, no breath. I think he's dead, right? And then this lady asked this bozo, hey, how do you know, how do you explain Lazarus? Well, it's because Lazarus wasn't really dead. I mean, who's read that story and thought, well, what's going on here? Well, how is it he can just call Lazarus forth and he comes out with his grave clothes still on him? You know, what's going on? It's because Lazarus was dead and it was a miracle because Jesus is God. You know, I remember just thinking like, and I got in the car with this guy and I'm like, you don't think Lazarus was really dead? Well, no, do you think he was? Well, it says right here, Jesus saith unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. You know, at the time, it was just like, well, you know, young guy, doesn't maybe have read his Bible enough. I don't know, whatever. Panicked, he got nervous. Fast forward a few years, no man has seen Jesus. Nobody's seen Jesus. Jesus is the Father. It's like, well, let's connect the dots here. You know, when you're reading the Bible and you can't even get something as simple as the fact that Lazarus died, and then you go into rank heresy denying the Trinity, it just tells me you're not of God because you can't hear God's word. Okay? And that's, you know, and I know a lot of people know the example I'm referring to, and that's just a real, you know, that's a very convenient example, but this is something that you'll see over and over again. You know, this is something we'll see, is people who just can't, you know, maybe there's somebody in your life when you show them things from the Bible and just they don't get it. It's because they're not saved. They're not of God. You know, they need to get saved if they still can. You know, and you say, well, how does that happen? Well, go to Matthew chapter number 13. You know, it's a great privilege to be able to hear and understand the Word of God because of the fact that, you know, that's not something everybody has. And sometimes people lack this understanding because God withholds it from them. I mean, we just read in Luke where he's saying, look, I know you've hid these things from the wise and prudent, but has revealed them unto babes. You know, that just speaks to the, again, the spiritual privilege that we have, you know, when we, because of the fact that we are of God, you know, that we, these things are not being withheld from us, that we, these things are being revealed unto us through the Word of God. It's a great privilege when you read your Bible to be able to read it and understand it. And I'm just preaching it because, I know how it is. You know, we read the Bible, and if we read it long enough and we've read it enough times and we've heard the preaching, we might just kind of get dull of hearing. We might kind of just go through the motions. And I'm trying to, again, rekindle these flames at the beginning of the year, you know, trying to, you know, inspire us again that when we go to our Bible and we read it to understand what's taking place, it's a communion with the Lord that we're having. And if we go to it with, you know, a right attitude, if we're right with God, and we go to it asking God to open our eyes and to help us to behold wondrous things out of His law, we will. That is a prayer that God will answer. And God will speak to us out of His Word. I had you in Matthew chapter 13. If you look there in verse 10, he says, and his disciples and said, came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Because remember, he said he would open his mouth in parables and dark sayings, right? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Meaning it's not, they don't have that privilege. Meaning God is holding that back from them. Jesus is purposefully speaking in parables so that they won't understand. He doesn't want them to understand. Do you understand? You know, that just, again, speaks to the privilege that we have to be able to understand the Word of God. He's saying, look, they don't get to. To them it is not given, the end of verse 11. Verse 12, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, for him shall be taken away even that he hath. You know, and he's referring to the fact that the Jews had the oracles of God. They didn't do anything with it. It was taken from them, and it was given unto the nation, you know, given unto the nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. That's a whole other sermon. Verse 13, therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and I should be converted, and I should hear them. He's like, look, there's some people, it's just not given unto them to understand these things. And obviously, it's a very specific group of people that Jesus is talking about in this passage. He's saying the Jews, these Pharisees, these people that have been given much, it's going to be taken away from them, and they'll have nothing. But it's showing us that God, it's not beyond God's will to just take, you know, that understanding from people. So if we have that, if we have that ability, it's a privilege. It's a great privilege to be able to read, hear, and understand the Word of God tonight. Isn't that what he said there in verse 16? But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Obviously, again, he's talking specifically, that would apply more specifically to the apostles that were with him, saying, look, a lot of people would have loved to see and hear the things that you're hearing, saying, here with me in my ministry. And you're blessed because you get to. You know, and we're not, you know, and we're blessed in the sense that we can look back on that ministry and get a lot of those details, can't we? You know, we can pick up and read the Gospels, and it's like we're there walking with Jesus. We're there hearing the same things. We're there seeing the same things through the Word of God. Our eyes and our ears are just as blessed today. I mean, that's what Jesus told Thomas. He said, you know, blessed are they which having not seen, believe. Right? Those that have not seen, believe. You know, that's a great privilege that we have even today to be able to pick up the Word of God, to read this God, and it's like we're there on the Sea of Galilee. We're there listening to Jesus preach. We're watching him heal these people. We're hearing the Sermon on the Mount. We're hearing John chapter 14 and 15 and 16 and 7. We're there in that upper room. We're there with the Lord every single time we pick up the Bible and read it because we are of God. This is something that we're blessed with. It's a privilege that we have in the here and now. The question is, are we taking advantage of it? Are we availing ourselves of this great privilege that we have in the Word of God? There's a lot of people that desire to hear these things and won't. There's a lot of people that are going through this life without the understanding that we have. So take advantage of your spiritual privileges. Take advantage of it. You know, because again, this time of year, I know we preach a lot about reading your Bible and these other things that we're just supposed to be doing. And a lot of times it can just turn into, you need to be doing this, it's just your job. But, you know, really, and that's fine and that's good to preach it like that. But I think what's really going to help people and inspire people and motivate people to read their Bibles is when they understand what a privilege it is to read your Bible. You know, it's a great privilege to have the Word of God, to be able to hear it and understand it. It's something that not everybody has. That's kind of the approach I'm trying to take here. You know, we have this great spiritual privilege. Just take advantage of it. I'll wrap up by going to Ephesians chapter number 2. Actually, you know what? Just go to Psalms 12, Psalms chapter number 12. I know we know Psalms 12. You know, we have this great privilege in having what? A preserved Word of God. You know, we don't have to sit here and scratch our heads, is what I'm reading right? Do I have everything that God has given me? You know, that's the shifting sand of all these other false versions. The shifting sands of all these reformed, folks, all these people who are just changing the Word of God on a whim, all these people that are just constantly finding this version, that version, versions that are contradicting themselves, taking things out, adding things to, you know, thank God we're not on that we are on the solid rock, the preserved Word of God for English-speaking people in the King James Bible. You know, in our language, what a privilege that we have it in the English language. You know, there's people that they don't have it in their language. They might have some version, but it's faulty. It hasn't gone through that refining process that the King James has gone through, you know, providentially by the hand of God. That's my belief. That God has, you know, given us this inspired Word of God preserved in the King James Bible perfectly for English-speaking people. Not everybody has that. Now, obviously, it makes sense it's in English because that's a very popular language. I mean, that's an international language. But, you know, it hasn't always been that way. And, you know, would to God that we would get, you know, there would be, a revival of getting the Word of God out into all languages. Obviously, there's plenty of other, you know, versions I'm sure that are written in other languages that are very good that people can be blessed by, but I mean this is the standard. I mean this is it. We have this pinnacle of just excellence in the Word of God in the King James. Look at verse 6, Psalms 12. For the words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Now, either that's a promise in the Word of God or it's not. Either the fact that it's a promise to all of us that God is going to preserve His Word to every generation or it isn't. You either believe that or you don't. I believe it. I believe that God is going to do exactly that, that He's going to preserve His Word for every generation. And that He has done that in this book, the King James Bible. And it's our privilege to open it up and to read it. You know, and people just have all these just nonsensical ideas about why they can't read the King James. They'll say things like, well, there's just so many words I don't understand. I need another version. I'm like, no, you don't. You read these other versions and they're very difficult to understand. You know, and I mean, you might have to figure out what thou and thee mean. You might have to look up a few words. So what? I mean, let alone just the way it's written. You know, you read some of these other versions, it's just, it reads like a, you might as well be reading assembly instructions for like a crib. It reads like, you know, a set of stereo instructions or something, how to put a car radio in. You know, it just reads so poorly, and it's just like, ugh, no wonder nobody's reading it. You know, the most read Bible is the King James Bible for a reason. I mean, even the world looks at the King James Bible and says, it's the pinnacle of literature. It's the greatest work of English literature ever made, hands down. The best-selling book of all time. The most read book, most widely read book. I mean, even the unbelieving world will look at that. I mean, good night, on its 400th anniversary, it was the front page of the National Geographic. The last time I checked, the National Geographic wasn't some stronghold of the Baptist faith. You know, it wasn't some, you know, great bastion of conservatism. Was not the National Geographic. I'm pretty sure they promote, you know, everything that's anti-Bible, everything that they promote, all the evolution and everything else that goes along with it. But yet, even they, when the King James Bible came around on its 400th anniversary, front page on the cover of National, even the world knows how great the King James is. Anyone with any kind of a brain out there that has any integrity whatsoever would admit that the King James Bible is a literary masterpiece. And that's what just boils my blood when people just write off the Word of God. They just scoff it, and they try to act so smug, and you're so smug and full, and act so smart like they know something because they just can't be bothered with the Word of God, that Stone Age book written by a bunch of goat herders. It's like, you're an idiot. It's like, have you ever read it? No. Well, then you're a moron. Then you don't even know what you're talking about. To sit there and say, you know something about what the Bible is, you've never even read it? It's like, just shut up. It's frustrating. Anyway, I'm gonna get myself in trouble if I keep going. But we, you know, this is the privilege that we have. The Bible says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. I believe that. That's what we have in our native language, the English, in the form of this high literature called the King James Bible. You know, I like literature. I like reading well-written things. I like reading poetic things. I like reading things that challenge your thinking, that, you know, make you have to really work at comprehending what's being said and what's being expressed by the author. You know, I like that kind of reading. You know, I'm not at home reading Dr. Seuss unless my kids have made a request, right? You know, and my kids, they love to read. And every year it's great to see them read more difficult books, books that are going to challenge their thinking, books that are going to cause them to grow and become, you know, more intellectual and things like that. But look, at, you know, anyone who appreciates good literature, you have to love the King James. You have to appreciate it at the very least that it's that. But what I'm trying to get across to us tonight is it's not just good literature. It's the Word of God. And we can pick it up and we can read it and we can say, where the word of a king is, there is power. And this is the word of a king. This is the word of the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's His word. And there's power in it. Power to change our thinking, power to change our hearts, power to give us encouragement, power to encourage us and to convict us and to strengthen us. And to maybe even weaken us, to break our pride, to humble us. I mean, the Word of God is so powerful. Why? Because Word of God. Yeah, you could take the same powerful word and read it to some unbeliever, just like Jesus spoke. I mean, Jesus Himself is speaking to these people and just, it's just bouncing right off them. But not me and you. Man, we read it and it just, to the heart. It can smite us right to the heart. So the ability to understand, to read God's word is a great spiritual privilege that we have. I hope that something I've said tonight will help you to see that and inspire you to continue to read the word of God, not just out of duty, but out of a sense of the privilege to be able to hear God's word because we are of God. Let's go ahead and pray.